So today we are going to continue our series. I think we should call it Wisdom for Living. We did first class on friendship, right? Have we done only one lesson? So we did a class on friendship. That is last Sunday but one, right? Because I'm thinking last Sunday we didn't do. Yeah. So today and next Sunday, we're going to be learning on how to navigate singleness, preparing for marriage, and work-life balance. Again, this is important, and we need to understand it. So today we'll start with thriving in singleness. And hopefully today the Holy Spirit will speak to us to correct some preconceived notions and maybe even to try to gain perspective. I will tell you that I wish that some of these things I was told much earlier in my singleness, but I wasn't. I was told... I used to attend a singles class before I was married in the church I was at, and maybe I just didn't pay too much attention, I don't know, but I do feel like the majority of the information I knew about navigating this phase and this season, I got third party through research and things like that, but there was an effort by the church to try and teach these things through a class. So, thriving in singleness. Singleness, now, just to be clear, singleness is when you are not married. For this class, the definition of singleness will be not being married. Now, when you are approaching or having a perspective on singleness, you need not to look at singleness as a waiting room. I understand how our culture, Africa, and also the church culture sometimes looks at marriage, that gives this impression that singleness is like this waiting room. I'm next, you know. But singleness is actually a season. It's a season which is supposed to be marked by intentional growth, preparation, and purpose. Intentional growth, preparation, and purpose. So what some of the things you're supposed to know and be aware of to have purpose and focus in your singleship, on your singlehood, sorry, is one of them is to know and always have Jesus first. Jesus is always first. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Are these my best settings? Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me, it's okay, Brother Dave, it's okay. Just I'll work with it. I'll just adjust my voice. If anyone comes to me, are we there? Luke 14:26. Can we go there quickly, guys? We have quite a lot to go through. Let's move quickly. Are we there? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and even brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26. Remember I said that the concept of the word hate here is a word which deals with preference or priority. The word in the both in the Hebrew and the Greek, in such scenarios, Jacob have loved, Esau have hated, is not a distaste, but a preference or having one ahead of the other. So in other words, what Jesus is saying here, you must put me ahead of every relationship you have in your life. including your own life. In other words, Jesus requires priority over your own life. Is that clear? Now, interestingly, this priority doesn't change when you get married. This is something you must learn in your singleness. If you don't learn this in your singleness, be well assured that when you get married, you are going to put your marriage ahead of Jesus. You're going to put your marriage ahead of God. You're going to put your children before God. And it's very natural and easy. And the temptation is quite great to have your children, your husband or your wife ahead of even Jesus. In fact, some of us have even heard people say it is family first, then God. Okay, they don't say it like that. They say God, family, ministry. I don't know why we separate ministry from God. Who is ministry to? So, it is important while you're single in this stage, use this to establish Christ as your foundation. You build it early to set Christ as your foundation. You build spiritual discipline right now while you're single. A discipline of prayer, a discipline of study, a discipline of worship, a discipline of service. My wife phoned me when I already have established a discipline. Tell you, for instance, something, you know, so there are things we have established in our home. For instance, we go to bed quite early. Some people have even laughed at us that we are like villagers. You know, when I went to the village recently to see my parents and do other things, I took it a notch lower. Is it lower or higher? I was speaking to my wife at 7 p.m. and I was already in bed. She was saying, oh my God, now that you have gone to village, it is... But you know, before, she's a night person. These ones who like the other side of the night. I am a morning person. 5 a.m. is not morning. That is late morning. So, if you have not established, right? If you have not established your discipline, somebody can... You get married and you want to meet Smanya common ground. Right, come together, sort of, you know, in the night, let's spend time together, and so on and so forth. Nope, she found those are non-negotiable for me. I go to bed early, I wake up early. But that's something you develop, you build, you have before, or you build in your singleness. If I think even when we're courting and we're having phone calls, however enjoyable the phone call is, there's a time I would say, you gotta go to bed, right? Of course, not in the first week. I mean, the first week of courtship, which the first day we spoke, I think we spoke the whole night. I mean, literally the whole night. I'm not saying figuratively. I mean, the whole night. And that can happen. But after 2-3 weeks, nzingenda kwebaka. Okay. Sometimes, you know, so you develop these habits when you are still single. Because when you're still single, you have so much control on your life that some of us who are so eager to get married, we are going to miss that control. There's just a flexibility of singleness I liked. You know, you finish church, would sometimes stay at church until 4 p.m. I mean, many Sundays would stay at church until 4 p.m. Then at 5, we are thinking, whose home are we going to? Can you imagine? You know, but right now, married, have family lunches to do, like today. Not my family, now the extended family. And those are things you can't put off because, you know, that's what it is. And once children come into the picture, the ball game changes much more. So, in other words, when you are single, build habits. Build a spiritual habit. Your future marriage is going to... Your future marriage is going to reflect the spiritual foundation you build today. I'll say it again. Your future marriage is going to reflect the spiritual foundation you build today. And for many of us, like, I want to say this, I've said it before in different ways, but I'll say it again. Don't make marriage your God. Right? Don't worship the idea of marriage more than Christ. Sometimes there can be a tendency where they're like, if I'm not married, there's something in Christ I don't have. Like, it is the end all be all. Okay, otherwise, when you get married, you'll bring idolatry into your marriage. There are people who worship their wives. The ladies are thinking, oh my God, I want a guy who worships me. No, you don't. I'll tell you, no, you don't. So, some people worship their wives. And sometimes if your wife knows you worship her, she's going to manipulate you. The enemy can tempt her to manipulate you. So every Sunday morning, something will come up. Sometimes it is genuine. So you wake up Sunday morning to go to church, and she's feeling under the weather. I say, but I need to go and I minister in church. You don't care about me. You know? If you marry somebody and they already know where you are with the Lord, they don't pull those stunts on you. Gentlemen. Even ladies, if they know where you are, they will not pull those stupid stunts. But you establish those things while you're still single. While in courtship, the other person knows that this is who I am. I'll share some funny stories. So before Pastor Tracy came to start fellowshipping with us, there are some reasons which I won't get into. There's one time I told her, if you don't come to church, we are done. I used to be that radical. Like if you don't come to my church, the courtship is done. I think, yeah. And she moved. So me and all the other times, so she moved. Yeah, and the rest is history. I mean, you're praying the outside. Okay, she wasn't exactly praying somewhere else. But she was under authority at home, and at home they wanted her to go to the home church. But I needed her to come to my church so that we can start to grow along on the same thing. Okay? So that when you get married, you don't struggle to assimilate spiritually. That, you guys, that thing has disturbed some of my friends. Woo! Some of you think you just married, born again, born again. You can marry a woman when she believes in throwing salt in the house. You don't know what that is? Covenant of salt. Meanwhile, you are in it is finished. Hey. And some people have lied to themselves. I'll too near to the Lord is a joke. There is nobody you are going to manipulate spiritually to align with you. Especially if you're a God-fearing man, forget it. It's not going to happen. If anything, your wife is just going to get at home in a carnality. Seller. You don't need this voice. You will need it. You're right. In the future, you'll need it. So, it's important to establish that before you get married. And before even you consider marriage, it will be good that these things are at the back of your mind. Secondly, when you're single, set clear goals. Set clear goals. When you're single, your only goal cannot be marriage. As in, like, you have no other life. Like, your only goal is to fumble. None shall like their mate. No jitimba munyumba everywhere. The only thing about you wake up, if you write on your desktop, none shall like their mate. You write. No. You must have other plans. Set other goals. Set spiritual goals. You should have them. Character. Develop your character. Character development. Learn integrity. Right? Learn integrity in small things. These things get multiplied when you get married. They get exposed. Why do you think they always say something like, find out where somebody comes from, how somebody was raised? The biggest issues in marriages come because of how people were raised. Let me use the word discipled. I narrated a funny story I had one time. I mean, this is, has not, it may not have anything to do with character, but it has everything to do with how people were raised. For some of us, we are pretty much raised by our pastors, to a high degree our churches, right? Because maybe the relationship we have with our parents was not that whole direct, but whatever we saw at home influenced us. So if you come from a home, which many of African people do, if you come from a home which was not very proper, you must do double work, especially when you're single, to try to correct some of the impressions you picked up. Those things are there. They are waiting to lift their head up. One day you'll wake up and slap your wife, and you'll not know where it came from. But at home, your father was slapping your mom, and you thought you were born again. When you just got born again, you came to church, you are just saying, oh, naga, oh, no discipleship, nothing. You're not dealing with these root issues. They, oh, I'm shocked. A pastor friend was telling me, do you know Pastor so-and-so slapped his wife? I was shocked at who slapped. I cannot slapped, beat. But if it is beating, so a man can just can beat his wife. Even the wife is shocked they beat her. Meanwhile, the guy is saying, "Kuongele," and they have to come to church and serve. So these things happen. But you know, while you were in your singleness, you didn't work on developing your character. Work on it deliberately. You must know, I grew up in a homestead where my father was very angry. He was always shouting. Do you know you will naturally be a shouter? Those things are, they are right, man, I do, these things are powerful. I had no idea until I was seeing my siblings. These things can be powerful if you don't do something direct. It's just that this is the life you grew up seeing. Okay? When you got born again, you just, there's a spirituality. Yes, you are doing, you are serving in church, you are attending Bible class, but you are not directly letting the Word of God enter some of these areas. Okay? You didn't have anything directly targeted to these areas. So sometimes they may not realize there was an issue in those areas until you're exposed to an environment which tags on those things which are deeply rooted, and then they rise to the surface. Amen. So, learning integrity. Don't think because if you're not faithful when you're single, you will learn faithfulness when you're married. Start to learn faithfulness in singleness. It will not magically appear when you're married. Develop your biblical knowledge now. We have had some ladies complain. They come and they complain to us pastors and they say, that man, he can't even teach me. He can't even teach me. Right? Like somebody is saying,
Can you imagine that man can't teach me? So you'll be here learning the word. Now, if you marry a woman and she's more spiritually, what is the word? Savvy, technical, man, you gotta pull up your socks. Because again, you must appreciate you're coming from an African setting where it is always going to be weird if you're doing a family devotion or anything and it is honey teaching. Now, in the West, it may not be a big deal. But even in the West, it's because that's supposed to be your responsibility as a man. Imagine. Imagine. Very early in the morning, your wife is the one leaving you in bed and covering you for her to go and pray. Guys, seriously. Have pride. Like, my wife leaves me in the morning in the bed. Her alarm goes off and she gets out, knowing I'm sleeping. Aye. That means we are under attack. And for gentlemen, there's even a certain pride you get, a good pride you get, you know, when everybody in your home is sleeping and you're the one pacing around, moving around, praying for the home. There is a way you feel. Now, these are things which God created within our makeup. The same way like how a man, when you provide something to your home, you feel somehow. That's why many men lose their minds when they lose their jobs. Many men lose their minds when they cannot provide. And for they will tell you, for many relationships, issues start when a man either stops earning money or when their wife gets more money. But it is always a dual sword. The man is always suspecting everything the lady does, he thinks she's doing because she has more money. So the insecurity will also come. You're saying, what? You didn't expect me to know this. Because I teach you Deuteronomy. Okay. So, learn these things. In character, learn to develop self-control. My brothers in Christ, can I tell you something? Learn to develop self-control. With your finances, with your time, and with your desires. Everybody learn to develop self-control. Have you heard of that phrase of sente zituma? None of us have heard that. Sente zituma. You've never heard that? It's a common adage. Just never heard it? It means money sense. Like when you have money, it shows you what to do. It tells you. Money is a master. Right? So you learn self-control. It's when you have money, you start looking for where to go. Muli wamwe, mwamwe. Like I just start telling you. So what they say? Money is sending you. When you did have money, the only plan you have is to live here to get home. You only have enough money to bargain with the border. Okay, so money can send you to do things. It's a true thing. So you learn to control yourself. So you have 500K in your pockets and you start shaking. To start calling everybody, updating your statuses. Why? You have some? You go around places you had not walked around for some time. Now you are passing around. Okay? So learn self-control. When you have money, sometimes you buy everything you find.
But self-control with your time. Man, when you're single, you have a lot of time. You will never have that time again. Use it. Plan for it. Sometimes I wish, like, there's a time in my life where I mismanage my time a lot. But you never get that time back. But there's also time. Sometimes I find people trying so much to do things within, which I'm grateful of how I used it. Like in my Form 6 VAC. Do you know, if you go through a Form 6 VAC, you will never have that time again. Has the time reduced? I think it's still the same. From about December to August. Shush. That's the time I made a heavy, heavy steps in my spiritual formation. Sometimes, I think there's a wisdom to it, but sometimes when I find people are so eager to find a job in their S6 VAC, I'm like, bruh, you're going to work for the rest of your life. If you can't use this time, you go. You spend time in the house of prayer. You go on a mission. You study. You pray. You go for crazy evangelism. You go for village missions. You may never have such a time again in your life. Especially for me, I went to university. The course I did at the end of my first year, while other people still are having that break, for us we had recess. You know, some courses don't do recess. End of first year, you still have maybe what, 3-4 months? Second year, internship. Third year, after third year, work. And other phases of life. So when you are younger, when you're single, and you have certain phases in your life, use them. When you're single, nobody wants your attention. Yeah, nobody needs. I mean, you can wake up a Saturday and say, today I'm doing me only. I'm dealing with my morning. You can get out of bed at 11. You did everything in bed. You know, I used to do everything in bed when I was single. And my early singleness, but also I didn't have a lot of room in the house to do anything. So, you understand what I mean? Eh? I had one room, so. But, you know, even from back then, I used to do a lot of things while lying down. Like, I used to read a lot while lying down. I know someone is saying, huh? How do you read while you're lying down? So, you have time. My books would be all over the place. Steps are playing here. I could decide to join my lunch with supper and my breakfast. So, like, there's that liberty you have. Which the older you grow, it's taken from you. Character development. Learn to manage your emotions rather than being controlled by them. Learn to manage your emotions. What other goals do you set? This one is very important. I'm going to lay here because sometimes I don't know if we do a good job emphasizing it. While you're single, in the goals you set, you should set goals for skill and career building. Please do. I need everybody in this church to have that. For some of you who don't know, the world is changing a lot. Especially with AI. The thing about AI is it's evolving so quickly and is already making many jobs redundant and non-existent. The things I can do right now with AI in a matter of minutes took some people about 10-15 years to hone properly. And AI is doing some of those things in minutes. So that means it is revolutionizing the working space mightily. There are things called like AI agents. I've and I'm working on developing one myself to assist me. And these things are going to make things and careers, certain careers, redundant. So you need to work more on developing hand skills. And hand skills are going to be quite paying in the future, because also humanity is as if becoming more dull and more dumb. So more people are going to need more people who can do hands-on things as opposed to things which are technical. Like right now, I'll be very careful to before I did an IT course. Right? IT? I may need to wait. But am I actively trying to do or to develop my skill? Am I trying to develop practical skills? Some of these practical skills, especially the ones which deal with artisticness, they are quite valuable. I was watching a YouTube video and I called my wife. I've told you my YouTube preferences with my wife are East and West. So I was watching this video of a guy who was making a table for $18,000. Now you didn't even marvel because you don't know what $18,000 is. Kale mun converting the mother Michael. Manak. Let me see what it would come to. $18,000 is $63 million. Can you imagine? This guy was working on a table and he was selling it to the client for $63 million. A table, a mesa, a table of wood. Now, he was recording a video of his entire process, and the video had, at the time I was watching it, had 3 million views. Now, again, I want to show you something. How much would YouTube pay a person for a video with 3 million views? So he's working on a table, which is selling to the client at $18,000. While he's doing it, let me just check here and let's see. You see how things have changed? Even what we can do in a live service. You know, I can consult. So, 3 million views could earn a person, especially if they have enough followers, could earn a person up to $75,000. So, $75,000 to is 262 million shillings. So you have 262 million shillings plus what? 63 million shillings. Yeah. And that's where the world is going. I read something recently. Of course, these people are outliers. They were ranking the number of... they were ranking the people who are paid the most per post on Instagram. And I think Cristiano is about what? If I'm not mistaken, you have people who are paid about $5 million to per post. The one you are doing is there's someone who is earning $5 million every time they post. Now, that's not a niche which is going anywhere. Okay, so you must learn, in this age, I must understand, hey, I must develop these AI skills. It's not a negotiable thing anymore. Okay? I must learn how this space works. So when you're single, you can do such things. Okay, we'll look at this, I think, when we're doing more on the career part. So you're building skills acquiring practical skills, you're acquiring experience, okay? You're finishing school. Finish school. Do a professional course. If you have somebody who is willing to pay for you, don't turn down an opportunity to acquire extra school and learning. The problem is some of us choose nonsense to study. Because somebody is paying for you, you look for what is easy. Don't do that. Understand where the world is going. Okay? And learn and build skills along that line. And then also, build a track record. Build your reputation. Okay, build your reputation. That's it. Who? And Dev. People shouldn't be talking about you like that. People should talk, ah, that's a wonderful young man. He's a hardworking young man. He's a professional person. He's a person of integrity. Let me tell you. Learn to build a reputation of integrity. Please do. It will help you a lot. These worlds overlap a lot. Our worlds overlap a lot. You may be working something which seems very small, but your character, your attitude, the way you work, you are going to meet people who are going to take you high. Okay, so don't take things for granted. Develop excellence and a work ethic. You have not worked for anyone. You have not been anywhere. Nobody knows you. You are telling people, me, I don't work for 500. Who are you? I don't work for 500. What do you do? Who are you? Who knows you? You see young people saying, mitwale video runaku za sisi koleda. Oinachi. Wali miewa. Like, who? Like, this entitlement, that is, they say it's which generation which has a lot of entitlement. Z. Gen Z is too entitled and they don't want to do anything. They want to start by being managers. Kakati now, they are also going to churches where somebody is saying, no, you cannot be small. You are big. So now they also enter where you are feeling big. You are entering your first interview, you are asking people, how much do you guys want to give me? Gen Z is amazing. You know, the rest of us, when we went to do interviews, you reached there like 2 hours early. You over-prepared. You are too dressed. I've read posts on X on HRS complaining how some of these guys come for interviews with jeans. Yeah, Gen Z is doing that. And then they can come in late. And they are very open. They tell the guy, I overslept. They say things like, I can't work on Saturday. Let me tell you, when you're building a reputation, when you're building when you're building your reputation, you literally have no leverage. Especially if it's a place you want to learn. You have no leverage. You have no, what do they call it? You have no bargaining power. Amen. Learn. And some of you think we have not done these things. I did these things with my degree. One of my official 5 to 8 jobs, I was given only an allowance. And I put myself into a world where I was learning a completely different field. Okay, there's something which applied across, but I was learning completely different. If you ask many of the people who are working here, many of them are not doing what they studied. Did you know that? In Uganda,
you get it. I'm sorry, I have to say that in Uganda. First, find somewhere where you're getting what to eat.
But also, we just found out sometimes that, hey, these are things we're passionate about doing. You don't know, when we were going through school, when I was in secondary school, You are either
a doctor or a lawyer, an engineer. So that's the world we came from. It was a world of do sciences, do sciences, do sciences, do sciences. Things are very different. In fact, things changed so much just after about six, maybe 10 years, maybe when I was done with school. Things have completely changed. So even if you went back even to your USE schools, things are different in just a short amount of time like this. Everything was reordered. I have friends. They did medicine. They graduated as doctors, and none of them is practicing as a doctor. Nobody's really advising anybody to do medicine anymore. But back then, you're a doctor. They say, Dr. Clinton is coming. They will put palm trees in the road. They welcome you, welcome to Jerusalem. If a doctor is somewhere, my friend, one of like my best friend, you don't even want to know anymore. Things changed. And some of us don't know. But all this information is out there for you to study, look at trends, and start to look at where you want to shape your career. Facebook came recently, but all the things that have changed ever since then are quite many. I've over-labored on that point. What else? So you also try to create sustainable income sources right now. It's this age, you know, when you're single, it's a time for try and error in work things. Invest here, risk here, there, and so on and so forth. It's hard for you to risk when you have people who need school fees, who need food at home. I know when you're a single man, especially men, we are risk takers. We're risk takers. So learn to take those risks earlier, get burned, learn, and move on. Right now, my risk appetite is, I can say my risk appetite is much lower than Brother Michael's. The difference is, I have a family to look out to. Okay, so what I'm willing to risk, I may need more information than maybe, you know, Brother Michael met with Brother Clinton and say, man, what did one? He can put in all his month salary. Yeah, the whole man. Isn't it, right? So there's when you're single, you can. Now, there's milk at home, there's bills, there's electricity, there's what? You can say me, I'll say, I won't put on any light in the house. I'll use my laptop. Maybe when I wake up early in the morning. But you know when you have people you live with? Table file. But I take a coin on your corridor, I'll leave your corridor. Hey, you have laughed. Hey, you guys have not yet rationed life. You have lived with silver spoons. To Kangolo, you're in the middle of a month, Nengo, wet day, you know. I have to go to Kampala every day to work. My God, let me say one time, Njakuta Mbrako Pakamurago. Ninyakali, you know, like. I know those things. You don't fear. You're not alone. I've seen them. No, so church. So Wednesday, Tuesday. But Monday, church. So if I wake up, I'm quite a pioneer. Mbimani. What do I say? Mbimani. I understand. There's a stage for that. Financial preparation. Learn to conserve resources for the future. Learn to conserve resources for the future. Now, I do hope you know that banks are not the only ways to save. In fact, they are not the best ways to save. You know, when you're younger, my friend told me something amazing.
buy an insurance policy. So he bought an insurance policy which matured 4 years, in 4 years, and he said it gave him money for his wedding. It was quite a genius thing what it did. And some of these policies are quite lucrative if you look at them and what they can do. So educate yourself on all those financial ways. Don't just use banks. For instance, some of you don't know, NSSF introduced something. What is it called? Smart Life. How many of you have heard of NSSF Smart Life? It's quite good insurance rates. You can put their money. It earns good insurance rates. And as low as 5,000. Every what? Whenever. So every time they pay you, you can send their 20, 30, 10. 20. And you can't remove it in the first year. So you can learn to use things like that. There are things like Zeno. There are, you know, you can go to insurance and buy an insurance plan. You can even buy a life insurance policy. And those things have benefits. And people like Brother Michael in the financial world, maybe they know some of this information. They can tell you. So learn to save. I know when you're young, there's this thing. And because this is not our culture when we are growing up. Again, if it meets the wrong teaching, one time I went to a church meeting and the man was saying, they brought this woman, and I, God forgive us. So back then what they used to do, they would bring a person in the fellowship, they would bring a person to speak on general aspects, maybe saving, investing, and so on. Then the later part of the fellowship, they would teach the gospel. So this guy came, I remember, from YSave. I've never heard of YSave. And he was telling young people about saving. I was saying, so this is what you do. You save this percentage. And young people are saying, no. Can you imagine? They call you to teach it to young people and they're saying, no, that's lack of, we don't save. No, you're laughing, but true story, it happened. The man who saves doesn't have faith. I mean, it's appalling. But I was in the meeting. Nobody told me I was there. In maybe 2014. And the emperor was saying, no, we don't save. Something which is in the Bible. Because the man was actually teaching that why save comes from Watoto, right? And it's built the Christians. He was using Proverbs and what? So the aunt, the what? No! We own it. We are rich. We are rich. Go away. Don't turn shumbo. You are not rich. Maybe if you knew you were not, you would work hard. But you know, back then it was the days of popularity of. But the Bible says the wealth of the unrighteous is. Are you unrighteous? So people were targeting. So what is happening? Like you see the man, that man who died, it's a sign of wealth transfer. All those funny prophecies that so and so died, God told me that shall be a sign of wealth transfer. How many of you have gotten anybody's wealth since you started to believe? Anybody? Brother Dave, you are the one who has, no? Do you have anybody's wealth? No, you are not going to get anybody's wealth. You have to work and God will be with you. But nobody is coming to build you. Some of us wish, maybe it is possible. I'm America. And they get a sentence. I'm not ever dreamt of such a thing. Not like these very wealthy people who die and leave like $10 million to the cat. Or somebody just, over here, you are hoping, somebody just adopts me. If a billionaire wants to adopt me, I just tell Serwada. This one is my father now. Now it is financially. So prepare. Build assets. Don't just consume. You're young, plant coffee. How many of you have land in the villages? You have said village. How many of you have land in village? Okay, how many of you have villages? For fighting. Okay, how many of you have been to the village? How many of you there are projects for your parents in the village? Let me leave that one. That one will talk of the teaching. People.
It's divergent.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I get what you mean. But we are not in a small group. Some of us, especially when it comes to financial, we have to start to think outside the Kampala. Okay, we have to start to think outside Kampala. Don't be mad with people. Kale, 10 years ago, they told me. Every time someone comes to Kulambira, they tell me, imagine 10 years ago, this place was old. Somebody wanted me to buy land here. I didn't. I thought it was a bush. So when you're younger, you can start to think like that. Start to prepare financially. Establish saving and giving habits. How many of you have a giving habit? How many of you have a structured giving habit? I got you. You cannot quantify your generosity if there is no plan around it. You can be generous, but you may not know how much you have been or how much you need to be. To be balanced. You get what I mean? Yeah. So habits for giving and habits for saving. Avoid debt. Now some of you are very young and you have debt. It shocks me. What are you borrowing for? To buy wigs. May it never be named among you that you borrowed money as a single person to buy a wig. In fact, I would also say, this might be controversial, but I may also say this. As a young person, you don't need to get into debt to get a car. Especially when you're alone, there's no need. Yeah. Some workplaces are so nice, they will force you to get that loan to get a car. But you don't need it. You move alone. Everything is with you. You don't need the liability that comes with a vehicle if you are. You know, sometimes when I'm moving alone, I don't drive. It doesn't both make economic sense but also time sense. I want to get to a place. I'm alone. There's a faster way. So sometimes you do that. I'm not saying a car is a luxury, but I'm saying when you're younger, you can weigh. Sometimes the wisdom would be, even if you had the money, it would be wiser to first do something else and then get the car. Invest somewhere else, because the car is a liability. It comes into your life, it just starts taking money. Amen. So you need to ask yourself a question. I know time has first went. What will you have accomplished in the next 2 to 3 years? If you remain single, don't say 2 3 years. No, I refuse. I rebuke. Don't cancel anything in your head. What if you were to be single for the next 2 to 3 years? Are you going to be worried, waiting for Mr. Right? Don't waste your years waiting. Do something. People also like to marry people who are doing something. Did you know that? Sometimes people don't like you because too natural color. They just look at you as a problem. They are looking at you, like a responsibility. Do what? Do something. Yes. Tosoma. tokola toya tokola chi do something. Avoid the marriage idol. A marriage is good and honorable. Hebrews 13:4. We can read that verse. Hebrews 13:4. But marriage is not the solution to all your problems. Marriage is not the solution to all your problems. Let's read this. Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be held in honor among all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Marriage is honorable. That's the truth. And marriage, I'm going to say, can be good. Marriage can be great, but it is not a guarantee that it will be. Somebody says, they teach us that, you know, good marriages are those who people have put work in. They don't make themselves. And they are made by people. The better the people are, the better their marriages will be. I didn't say good looking. I said the better the people are. Can you write this? And I want you to have it at the back of your mind, all of you who are single. A bad marriage is worse than healthy singleness. I want to say that again. A bad marriage is worse than healthy singleness. Singleness may feel tough, but a bad marriage is multiplied worse to the degree and the power. Also note this. Don't rush into marriage because of out of loneliness, out of pressure, or desperation. Don't rush into marriage out of loneliness, pressure, or desperation. In fact, first calm down. The best time to marry is when you have come, what? Relaxed. So use your singleness well. Build your relationship with God while you're single. Marriage reveals character, it doesn't create it. A person who doesn't bathe when they are single. Complete the sentence without using. He's going to find it hard to bathe in marriage. Someone saying bathing. This is a big issue in some marriages. So brothers, learn to bathe now. Yeah, learn to brush. Oh my, people are laughing, but these things seem simple. But you think somebody knows. Are you serious? Like, how do you, who forgets to, yes, people forget to brush. Yeah. You say, hey. People do. Nobody needs to tell you to buy a cologne, a deodorant. There are those ones of 5,000 shillings. Katimetu na tutu dao to collect class. Katimungo gamba or in a spirit of rejection. You just have a spirit of smell, which can be fixed. Some of you just need to groom yourself, cut your hair every now and then. Right? Sister Trust is here. She knows fashion. Tell her, get me some nice shirts, a Ziriko. If you don't know them, Mugambe Nine Edge. Get on G's. Hey, you can be there. You can solo. And you don't have to buy a lot. Let me tell you, man. You know you can have 3 trousers for a whole year and you're always smart. And nobody will know except you. No, we can do that for us very well. Very well. So, do these things. Groom yourself. This attitude of I don't care. Please start to care. Okay? So work on yourself. So let's look at quickly. Oh, time. Preparing for marriage. Preparing for marriage. We're looking at counting the cost. Now, these are things you're going to be doing and doing and doing. Really, what you're trying to do, when you're talking about this, it's not really that I'm preparing myself to be a good wife or a good husband. It's much more of I want to be a good human being. Because good human beings make good relationships. So, you count the cost. Luke 14:28-30. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him. So, count the cost early. Marriage is like building a tower. It requires planning. Like I told you, my friend is a planner. He's really a planner. Like he said, I'm putting this money in 4 years. It will have gotten this amount of money. And I want to use this money to marry a woman. And it's calculated like that. So you plan. Plan your resources. Plan to be committed. Otherwise, on your wedding eve, you'll want to run away. And pretending maybe you didn't hear God. And it'll be squeezing you. You're not going anywhere. Men fear commitment. Okay, not men. Some people fear commitment. But you need to plan to commit. Marriage requires intentional planning. It's not just emotional feelings. Those ones are for girlfriend and boyfriend. But if I'm going to build a good marriage, I need to develop myself beyond writing poems and singing love songs and being funny. You know, before you marry a lady, you make her laugh many times. In marriage, she'll ask you, "Ngato chances?" Omweleza memes ya balada ba msesemu. I think when you get married, there's just some focus you enter, which becomes more of partnership. You both know what money you have. Nobody's getting annoyed that they didn't take them to a fancy restaurant. What cent is zero? Muzimanyi. Rudiu wanyo njiga noga keni mpola ya video mana mtuwale out. Mtuwale ku... No mungu ya streetwise one. Streetwise one ku KFC is what? 13,000? 11,000. Neka soda. No joga. Nemukubane vifana. Mungu ya happy. Amen. But you count the cost. It's more than that. It's the commitment. It's when you are married, it's much more about choosing to stay. Oh yeah. I'm not going anywhere. Sometimes people argue and wife says sina jenda ga. Hey! Sorry to say this.
Back then, my mom was very concerned about me and making sure I make the right marriage choice. And for many of us who know how my mothers can be, and she used to tell me about tribes, that these ones, they don't go. This one's Panova, these ones love, these ones, you know. When I was growing up, we had a neighbor back there at home where I was raised. It was a Machiga woman. She was very loud. He would abuse her. He would deal with her husband loudly. But no matter what the guy did, she would never leave. Not even for one day. So, yes, nothing. I'm here. I shall not be. What does counting the cost mean? Financial readiness. Can you support a household? What is your debt situation like? Sometimes people get married and somebody didn't disclose everything and they get shocked. Wanji, momo cash kuwanja, momo pesa, momo what? What are all those things called? Give me cash, advance, what? What have I married? Everything is debt. So, emotional readiness is the next one. Emotional maturity. Can you handle conflict without destroying each other? Conflict is important. So you must have the emotional stability not to threaten to leave every time you have a conflict. And some of those signs you can tell during courtship. How do people handle conflict? Number three, spiritual alignment. Do you share the same faith foundation and values? I want all of you to put this one number one. Yeah. The same faith foundation and values. It's very critical. Do you know why I say it's very critical? It's one of those things that can stretch a marriage so... It's like death by a thousand cuts. And it's those things which nobody can help you. In the sense of there is no environment you can get in. I think it's tough. It's really tough. And I find that sometimes the enemy is... That's one of those things the enemy always tags on. To stretch a marriage, especially if a marriage, if you guys have harmony, you're fine. This one, he can use it to pull someone apart. So please make sure you are aligned spiritually. Life vision. Do your goals for family, career, and ministry align? These ones you could get them. There can be a place for him. Compromise. Actually, there will always be a place for compromise on both sides on these. Family. One person may want 20 children, one wants one. How we deal with our in-laws and things like that, your parents, your siblings, and so on and so forth. Those are critical things. You start to have these conversations in courtship, not in dateship. In career, somebody wants to pursue masters, PhD, what? You need to tell somebody early. Have you heard? You need to tell somebody early. Even pastors, even people who are going to preach, don't assume. Tell the women early. Even women of God, tell them early. Tell them, you know, God has called me into the ministry. The life of a ministry is a bit different. I may be required to do some of these strange things. Are you willing to still be with me? Someone will say, one of the reasons I love Brother Simon is because he's spiritual. Now when you get married, she's complaining you're over spiritual. And you get a serious conflict. Oh yes. You're over spiritual. Now you're learning the reality.
want to fast, they are telling, you know, and people can start to stretch you. So, what is our goal? What are we seeing? She's there. I told her some of these things before she committed to spending the rest of her life with me. Time investment. Are you ready to prioritize the relationship above others? People who say they love you but they can't make time for you are lying. Don't pray about it. It's the truth. It is the truth. Health considerations. What are the long-term health realities you're entering? Don't say, I believe God. Mm-mm. You are believing God now until the patience of dealing with someone with a health issue starts to stretch in marriage. Do you know people divorce because of health? And sometimes these are health things which develop along the way. Somebody got an accident. Okay. So part of that is judging the maturity of a person. But sometimes people have health issues. You know, what do they call them? Somebody may be a carrier of a sickle cell gene, or there are many different things you need to have a discussion about. Be factual and not merely emotional. When you're considering somebody to marry, I know you might have entered the relationship on an emotional basis, but now you need to use facts to make the decisions. Somebody says, a broken engagement is better than a broken marriage. Okay? Feelings change. Character doesn't lie. Ladies, let me tell you this first, because this one many times involves the gentleman. Nobody is going to feel crazy about you the same way they did when they first saw you. Okay? Gentlemen, you see? All those things that strike you about a woman physically, it's because you're not seeing them often. Now, women are not always known for committing to marry someone because of their looks. You guys are lucky. But many gentlemen want to commit because of how. There are some words I can't say because we have a young brother here, but I would have been more candid. You are going to find someone with another one. Yeah, which may be better and bigger than for your spouse. Okay? So if that's what is holding, you are in trouble. Like I said, those things fade, character doesn't. A person with a bad character begins to look so unattractive. How many of you ever found something? They start to nauseate you. Now, if you're staying with them, they start to. Yeah. So the guy is saying, "Funda no moving, we move you on where." Was it? Anyway, so some. Don't you ever think there that at least I'll have a good face card? What about a face card? But also, people transform. Men become ugly as they age. I don't know why. Yeah, I think men's faces just start to swell. It's weird, right? Yeah. And
when women start to produce children, they also change. So physical depreciation is real. I think men have a longer window. Eh? You can look the same from 25 up to 30 something. You're just changing. In fact, you may be looking better. Unless things are bad.
Right? You start to look somehow. Like my mom would say, "Ngalu mondo mulinyire muliango." Anyway, let me conclude. We have a lot to do.
So don't invest more in emotions. Emotions are dangerous. When in courtship, have strategic conversations early. Right? Don't wait for long. Okay, I'll build on this. I think. Okay, let me do it today. Won't have our groups perhaps. When in courtship, have strategic conversations early. Don't allow relationships to be spontaneous. Sit and discuss the future directly. Don't fear to talk about the future. If you want to marry somebody, you shouldn't be afraid to ask questions about the future. Ask questions about faith, finances, family, children, career. If you're a woman, you want to be a career person, find out the man you're marrying, is he intimidated by your success? Yeah, it doesn't mean you don't have to marry him, you just have to be more tactical with the more you earn, right? Yeah, sometimes they'll tell you, sit home. I'll tell you, Ofrumo, where are you going? You know, everything is, and they just make you dress like an old lady. Because the man is insecure. And these things happen. Or they just tell you to sit home. Okay? So ask difficult questions. What is your approach to money? How do you handle conflict? How do you view roles and responsibilities in marriage? Some of these people have very traditional views. All views they came with from home, what they saw. I mean, this guy was shocked. One time they are there at home, the man said, "Today I would like to eat some posho." So they are there, he's waiting 30 minutes, an hour, nothing is happening. He calls the wife, he says, "Honey, I thought we were going to eat." She said, "What do you mean? I already made the water for you." So he also opened his mouth, he's like, "Huh?" She also said, "Hey, what do you mean, huh?" She said, "I said, what do you mean?" He said, "You come and mingle." Very seriously. He said, "Why?" Well, she was saying, honestly, say, for me, when I grew up at home, it's the boys who what? Who mingle. Yeah, it's the men. Meanwhile, also, I'd be saying, huh? In my home, the men never entered the kitchen. So you have 3 days of tantrums and no harmony in the marriage. Because these are expectations. I told you, my wife shocked me by sending me to the market. I was like, at first I thought it was a mistake. We just got married. We were like, Paulo Katerega. Ndikumidala, Montera Musidi. So meanwhile, at our home, apparently the father is the one who buys those things. The father is the one who goes to the market and buys groceries. He's a very good selector. I grew up, the only thing a man buys, the things that used to buy, specifically actually meat, he's the one who used to buy the meat, specifically. But maybe things like milk and bread. But meat, he always... Here I am, they are shocking me. Sarah has never brought home tomatoes. So what have I asked, babe? So I think when I realized it is not a fast, is when we are both home and they were telling me to go to the market. I said, nah. I don't know if I said no, but I said this is weird. I think I just said buying bad things. I just said, you know what? No, I wasn't buying them deliberately. It's just not my world. So today I just drive out to the market. No, honestly, I don't know how to buy those things. If I go, they are going to cheat me. I don't know how much a tomato is. Why is buying tomatoes? Over five of us, I don't know how many they are supposed to be. So I can't buy... Anyway. But you see, that's the case of... I was raised like this, you were raised like this. We didn't speak about these things. Now I'm married, I'm expecting this, expecting that. And we are clash. True story, you know. My parents ever watch these videos, I'll be on. My big brother with his wife. My mom said, "Tobano musiru sirungo yaro buliri." So I know, like, so what that means is like a man is not expected to make the bed. Right? Anybody ever had something like, or to wash? So yeah, they raise us with these things. You guys don't know. Sometimes you just think we don't want to. Like, imagine you are living in such a home. Now, this is wisdom. Even if you share these things with your husband, when your parents visit, sometimes we forget and we overstay in character. Or we don't get in character. That's how you go to the kitchen to prepare tea for your mother when your wife is sitting, and you create a war for her. I think my mom would be shocked if he visited and I was serving her. Okay, so these things you communicate, you learn, you see how people were raised, and so on and so forth. If you marry someone who had a very good relationship with their father, it's good, but as a man, it also puts a challenge on you. The girl has to be a princess because that's how her dad raised her. Yeah. So, like, my wife, you have to drop her, you have to worry. Those are the things you have to prepare to do. But if you marry Majemaje, now the problem with also Majemaje, they are difficult because they also don't allow anything to be done for them. And that can also affect a man. You find your wife has already bought things. You find she has already made decisions. You find she has already gone. You find like everything. No, we have listened to these things. These things are creating issues in marriage. Say, yeah, she already painted the house. She already bought chairs. Look at my husband. Whoa. Hey, calm down. China chakubuza. Because she was raised. These are real things. Yeah? These are real things. So this is why in marriage is always an adjustment. And that's why they say those first few years of marriage are quite difficult. Because everybody is trying to understand, assimilate, relate. Yeah. If you marry someone, a lady who has been very independent, they can be very good at getting things done, being independent, but it can frustrate men a lot because they don't feel like the men in the relationship. So you have to prepare for all those. Ask Ali, but also observe why in courtship. You've been blessed. Amen.